Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a fantastic show lined up for you guys today, one that I have been looking forward to for quite some time. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. And boy, Linda, do we have a fantastic guest lined up today, don't we?
We so do. I have so been looking forward to the hour we're going to spend with today's guest, Mark Harris. I've known Mark for a number of years, and not only has he set up his life in a really remarkable fashion as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, but the gift he brings into the world of showing people how to do it simpler is one that has resonated since I first met him 4 or 5 years ago. And Gina, I think you've known Mark even longer than I have.
I don't think I have. I think I've known him about 18 months, but
In
the last 3 or 4 months, Mark and I have really gotten a lot closer, and oh my goodness, the stuff we're going to be doing in 2014 has me so excited to get up and do what I do every day.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to all the programs that are coming this coming year, and at the same time, I'm so delighted that Mark was able to make himself available to come spend time with us now to talk about how, you know, what is it that he's been doing for the last 20 years, helping people take their business ideas into the marketplace through this combination of innovation and marketing, and he's going to share the keys to making it simple for business. So, Mark, welcome aboard. So glad to have you with us.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
We can hear you
okay,
well.
Excellent. Well, it's great to be here with two wonderful, awesome people that, as you said, Linda, that I've known you for several years now, and you've met and talked and talked about some great things. And, of course, as Gina just mentioned, you know, her and I have been doing a lot of neat stuff over the last several months here that has been really exciting for both of us. So, and I'm sure some of that may come up on the call, but it's great to be here. So,
you know, as a context for people who are listening to us, I want them to really reflect on the fact of the point that you and Gina just made, that you met about 18 months ago, and towards the end of this program, we're going to be talking in really concrete terms about what it is the two of you are doing together, because it completely epitomizes, it completely models what we're talking about with the concept of how to simplify growing your business. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know what, Gina, I'm going to hand the baton over to you.
Okay. Well, Mark has been known for many years as a leader in the world of thought leadership as well as the world of leverage through joint ventures. And Mark, I would not be doing my job as a host bringing you on the show if we didn't talk about the whole thought leadership side of what you do. What is it? What's it all about? How did you get interested in it? All that stuff.
Well, it's actually funny. It's been a lifelong kind of passion of mine, and I didn't really call it that early on, but in the last 8 years or so, I have called it thought leadership because ultimately that's what it's about. It's not necessarily a really sexy term for a lot of people, and it doesn't resonate with them. They just don't get what it is, and there's, of course, thousands of different ways of people interpreting it, which is part of the problem. It's kind of like when the internet first came out, people say, you know what? What is this internet thing? You know, and it's like, you know, what does it do? And what, you know, and all that stuff. And that's been, you know, 20 years now in the commercial realm, and you know, of course, 40 years in the development realm. But basically, thought leadership is about two really unbelievably important things. So important that actually almost all success depends on them. I know it's a big nut to swallow there, but the fact is that's exactly what it is. First, there's thinking, and of course, then there's leadership. So there's thinking and leadership, and it's, you know, you could take like a book like or a study that Napoleon Hill did for 20 years. And when he did that study, he created a whole book on the law of success and a bunch of things like that. And it was a 1,200-page volume. But the bottom line was is that later on, about 20 years later, he found a lot of people couldn't get all of that, didn't want to read all of that. So he came up with a simplified version of that, which was called Think and Grow Rich. And ultimately, you know, he kind of encapsulated the entire principle of success about really what goes on in your mind, which is this word think. And that's why he said Think and Grow Rich is really the whole point of everything he was talking about. Why? Because everything starts in the mind. And, you know, simply put, you know, on the thinking side, thinking can get really unbelievably awesome in so many different directions. But simply put, ideas are the simplest way to look at thinking. And, of course, ideas can change the world. You know, ideas can change your life. They can change your family. They can change your business. They can change cities, states, nations. They can change marketplaces. You know, ideas can just change everything. And so in a business realm, we call that innovation, which we'll talk a lot about as well. But these are things like, you know, you have an idea for a product. You have an idea for a service. You have an idea for maybe advice or solutions that help your marketplace. And these ideas are something that you want to actually have people adopt. And that's really the challenge. It would really be a tragedy. You have these great ideas, these great innovations, and then something doesn't happen with them. Nobody adopts them. Nobody hears about them. So, and I'll start by saying this, is that, you know, one of my mentors was a man who was a protege of Peter Drucker. And Peter Drucker was a legendary management genius. And he said, in the end, business is innovation and marketing. And he said, all the rest is cost, which means everything else can be bought except innovation and marketing. These two are two critical things that I kind of brought into as critical areas of my life that I was going to focus on. And the thinking side is really the innovation side in business. And, of course, the other side, the leadership side, is really like the marketing side. So as a lot of people are starting to finally understand that true marketing is based on leadership. And, of course, leadership in this sense means literally educating the market about why they need your innovation. Why do they need your product, your service, your solution, your device? Why do they need to learn about it? Why do they need to adopt it? And, of course, true leadership, of course, followers, right? If you're not really a leader unless you effectively have brought in followers. I'm not saying you can't be a leader without it. However, the effectiveness is determined by how many followers you have. And, of course, marketing is also determined in that way, in the sense that the more people you can bring into the fold to adapt your innovation, the better off you are. So, in short, in a business realm, you have thinking and leadership, you know, innovation and marketing, and that means getting great ideas, great products, great services, great solutions and advice to be adopted by many people through great marketing. So that's a kind of a simple way of it, maybe getting a contextual understanding of how thinking and leadership can work and maybe some of the things we'll talk about today.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a great way to describe it. And I'm certain that it's a novel idea for our listeners today. And, you know, isn't that really what your whole life is about, not just your business? Mark happens to be a dad of, isn't it 12 children?
Yep, 12. Yep.
And
that's right, 12 children. We have one. Yeah, go ahead.
You personally homeschool all 12 of your children.
That's right. You know,
I would imagine leadership,
okay.
It really applies to homeschooling 12 kids.
It sure does, and here's why. Think about it. Everything you just said is absolutely brilliant, Gina. Think about it this way, okay? If truly what Napoleon Hill spent decades studying, and the fact was that thinking is the core of literally success, and, of course, the other side of it is putting those successful ideas into action, into practice, right? If those two things is as important as I believe they are, let me ask you a question. Why don't they teach thinking in schools? And why don't they teach leadership in schools? Why don't they?
That's a very good question.
You know, and that's one of my pet peeves with it. And it didn't start out that way, you know, 21 years ago when I started homeschooling. But the fact was, I was like, you know what, the most important things in life, they're not even teaching there. And that was a tragedy for me. So it was not even so much how bad the schools were in many ways, it's how good they weren't in teaching the most critical things in life. So I said, well, we're gonna homeschool our children, and that's kind of how it went. There's a lot more I could talk about that, but basically, and by the way, I got a project I'm putting together to teach children how to teach and or how to learn thinking and leadership, and it's called Einstein Mastermind, which is like to teach people how to do that. But that's another story. So.
Oh my goodness! I can't wait to hear more about that one, Mark.
Yeah. Yep. So.
And so, over the last 15 years or so, what has this done in your business? How do you use the idea of thought leadership in your own business?
Well, thought leadership, I'll use it in business realm. You know, people are starting to catch on that literally that people do not want to get sold into anymore. They're sick and tired of being sold to, right? So the fact is that one of the one strategy, but at the same time, you can't give away everything, so you have to be able to sell. But the concept of educational selling is really a core that's working, that people finally understand it's working. What educational selling is that it starts with two things, thinking and leadership. And this thinking is you're transferring knowledge to other people by through the form of education. Now, education, of course, is not pouring into somebody's mind. It's actually asking the right questions. It's drawing it out of their mind. In fact, most of the time, the things that you want to teach people are already in there, and people adopt them better when they actually discover that that's something that they need. So when you ask questions and you educate people properly, and they start to realize that they need what you have, and therefore they've discovered that they need to buy what you have. So educational selling is an excellent form of thought leadership because you're using teaching to lead people in a specific market. I mean, in fact, most markets and customers and clients and industries, people need to be and they actually want to be led. It's a big trend. If you didn't notice, most of us are losing it regarding how much time we have. I mean, nobody can study the thousands of different innovations, the thousands of things that are going on in any given product realm. They can't study the pros and cons of why they should choose this one over that one and all that. So people are realizing that they need experts, they need advisors, they need people that already are experts or really thought leaders in those areas who have actually spent their time studying those things so that they don't have to. So effectively, you become their trusted advisor. You become this person that they trust to lead them in a certain direction. Of course, you have to be trustworthy and you have to do your work and you have to become that thought leader, right? But the fact is that ultimately this educational selling leads a market into a great place, and that's how I use thought leadership in, say, marketing in my business. That's an example.
And what is the core of your business?
Well, my core business, I have several businesses. I've been in the association business. I do a lot of things I don't necessarily talk about a whole lot. I'm on the board of several associations. I've started several large ones, and I'm doing a lot more with them lately. A number of people who participate in some of the things we talk about will find out more detail about that. But I'm in the business now, really, of helping people implement thought leadership into their businesses. And so lately I said, okay, well, we decided about 2 years ago to create an organization called the Thought Leadership Alliance. And I kind of decided to put all the different things, Jay Abraham and I created a program for thought leaders maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a lot of programs like that were very important for people to learn about how to implement different facets of thought leadership. I said, let's just all roll those into this Thought Leadership Alliance, because ultimately, just like, again, Napoleon Hill talked about how masterminding or, having organized effort was a critically important element, and associations are that same thing, organized effort or a mastermind. What happens is, we want to bring people together to effectively tap into everyone else's talents in the thought leadership arena. So what I did was I said, we're going to start creating some projects that will help people implement thought leadership in their business, their life, in educational circles, nonprofit, and all kinds of different circles. In the business area, and even in the non-business area, I said, okay, well, and we've created several projects. We haven't even launched the organization officially. We've been doing that in 2014, but we've had these great projects that are doing fantastic with thousands of people. It's really exciting. But what I said was, last summer, I said, let's think about this for a second. What is the quickest and fastest and easiest way for somebody to create the highest level of innovation? If you were creating a business tomorrow and you said, you know what, I want to have a great company, right? I want to have a company that's going to really serve in an awesome way that lots of people are going to come on board and buy my products, and they're going to be tickle pink, and they're going to be happy, and I'm going to have raving fans and all this other stuff, right? Well, most people don't realize that that takes many years, if sometimes decades, to actually achieve, right, and to make money. I mean, Twitter's still not making really money, right? So what I said was, look, if somebody was starting today, and if they're not starting today, that's okay, but if they were starting today and tomorrow they wanted to have the highest level of innovation possible, what would I do? What would we do? And the answer, inevitably, was always joint ventures, because I could literally find the guy who spent the last decade patenting it and researching it and developing it and finding investors for it and spending the time, money, and effort to put together this great product. I could actually literally call him up tomorrow, create a joint venture with him, and tomorrow I could be representing, selling, including his products and services in my enterprise, which means that I could get to the highest level of innovation almost overnight. And what's really exciting about that is I could also find some other complementary things that maybe that particular innovator did not think of to add to the mix, which now I actually have a greater innovation than that original innovator had. I mean, they'll still benefit by their innovation, but now we could make a collective product of several things that now allows you to create the highest level of innovation possible. And that's, I said, let's create the joint a series of joint venture projects. And the first one is this joint venture summit that we're going to be doing in March, which is we can talk about a little later as well.
And the one thing I've really seen in getting to know you and work with you is how much you've used joint ventures in your business. It's very novel. You don't see people doing this very often. It's something that, as you know, I strongly believe in, and it really is the single easiest way of getting a big business built quickly. So let's talk a little bit more about the concept of joint ventures and what that means and how people can really start to see the world through our eyes so that they can see all these possibilities with joint ventures. First off, what is a joint venture?
Well, okay, let's kind of take what we just were talking about for a second, just to make it kind of put it in plain sight. So we have this great innovation, whether we've created it ourselves or we've partnered with somebody else to actually create, to have this great innovation. It could be some product. It could be a service. It could be any, you know, a book. It could be a information product. It could be, you know, any kind of solution that helps a marketplace, right? But today we have this product. We don't have any customers. If we wanted all of a sudden to create the largest amount of clients, sales, and profits starting again tomorrow, what would we do? Well, the fact is the best answer, again, is joint ventures, and here's what they are and how they would work in this case. So some guy out there, right, in your market has already spent the last decade maybe building a list of 100,000 maybe prospects and clients that's perfect for your business, right? They're the perfect same exact clients. This guy has spent maybe time, blood, sweat, tears, money, investing in systems and getting a huge list, nurturing that list, having people who love his advice on that same topic, right? So you don't have to spend a decade or even 5 years or whatever it takes to develop a list of 100,000 people. Once again, you can call that person up tomorrow and say, hey, I would like you to share my innovation with your people. And therefore, that's a joint venture. And, of course, it's a win-win deal because they are always looking for great content. They're always looking for great innovations that can serve their market. They're always looking for great things that can educate people as well as things that can sell people on those innovations. So if you then have this kind of a deal, which is really a joint venture, have this kind of partnership, which is a joint venture, have this kind of strategic alliance of some kind, that is a joint venture. So now you say, look, I'd like to maybe show up on a teleseminar, show up on a webinar, show up on a Hangout, Google Hangout, show, you know, have my products be an article about it in your on your blog or in your newsletter or what have you. And now all of a sudden, that particular person who's now spent years and tons of time, maybe hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, developing this list, will now share everything what you're doing with his people. And, of course, they'll get a cut. They'll make some money. They'll be happy. It pays the bills, makes them a profit. And then you also bring in a steady stream of clients in that same exact way. So now what you find is the quickest in thought leadership, the easiest way to get to innovation and marketing, the easiest way to really build a great business is through creating partnerships with other people who have already done what you need to do in order to have that successful business. And in some cases, these people love it a lot more than you do, right? You may not love sitting behind, you know, who knows what, and developing some kind of product. You may not love that. You may not even love marketing. But what you can do is you can find somebody else who does, who actually lives and breathes, you know, the things that you hate. And therefore, you can partner with those people and then get everything you need done in your business to make some great things happen.
So it's really a matter of first sitting down and figuring out what is it that you really want to do. Then what is it that you love to do? What is it that you don't love to do? And finding the right people to put that plan in place so that you don't have to do it all yourself, right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
Linda, I want to bring you back into this discussion because this is exactly where Linda is in her business right now. And she's out there actively looking for joint venture partners, and it doesn't seem that easy, does it, Linda?
Well, I think what would be really valuable for the three of us to discuss for our audience is that we tend to look at what other people are doing and say, oh, all I need to do is mimic what they're doing. So as an example, I happen to be in my background. I'm a business leader. I'm a business consultant. I'm a business coach. I'm a mentor. There's many different terms that could be used for me. So if you go into an online space and you look for joint ventures, what can happen, for instance, is you could find a lot of coaches who love coaching, and work on one very specific aspect, such as mindset. And if you follow what they're doing, you'll see lots of joint ventures among people who work on the inner side of business and life, mindset, belief systems, and so on. And I think it's very human for each of us to then say, well, all I have to do is mimic that. There's two different things that happens. One is, depending on our specialization, we have to find people who understand what a joint venture is and that how it's valuable to them, their audience, their clients, their community, so that they want to engage in this idea of collaboration. And not everybody out there is all that familiar with it yet. So that's one thing. And the other thing is the following, is that even if we, quote, want to make it easy, sometimes we have to get smart and clever. So I'll use myself as an example. I spent several months looking for people who were thought leaders to collaborate with. I looked for people who were consultants in very specialized areas to small businesses. And what I would say is that in the last week I realized I was looking down the wrong pathway for who I could collaborate with, that in fact, because of my background, because of the kinds of work that I do, I can actually go build relationships with very large-scale players. So, for instance, with Chamber of Commerce's in large cities, the work that I do helping entrepreneurs grow their business is actually of interest as a value-added training in that Chamber of Commerce environment, in the large international credit bureaus that view themselves as service providers to small businesses. So very different than my own thinking 6 months ago. And so I encourage everyone who's listening to this conversation we're having today to understand that we're here to lay out the thinking for you to start understanding joint ventures. And I encourage you to keep delving into who might make a really powerful strategic alliance, a really powerful joint venture, because they understand the power and the value for themselves, their own community, and their own business, and so on.
Well, you know, Linda, I would actually invite you to come to my joint venture summit, because, first of all, I consult with a lot of chambers. I actually am on the board of a chamber. And at the same time, I'm actually inviting several of them to be at the summit because I'm having a whole section just on how to partner locally with chambers and things like that, which we can talk about later. But you're right. Finding the right kind of partners is what it's all about. And then literally know how to actually create that relationship in a way that is really outstanding.
Right. It is not just because you see someone else partnering with a particular type of partner that we each are supposed to duplicate that exact relationship. It really requires sitting back and saying, what's the value I'm bringing to my particular audience, my ideal customer, and who is it who's serving those same people, that same audience, and how do we, in a Vulcan sense, how do we do a Vulcan mind meld so we're thinking collaboratively about how we're serving that person? In my instance, it's serving the business owner.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, Mark, By the way, I'm already set to be there. I'm really looking forward to the summit. I just know how powerful it's going to be, and I really encourage all of our audience to really get on the calendar, put it on your calendar, make a point of being there yourselves, because it's going to be really powerful days of learning and connecting with people and so on. If we were to give the first few steps to someone where this is a really unusual and new concept, what are the first three steps that someone should take in order to take this from pure idea into starting to make it truly a project they're working on for their business?
Absolutely. Let's start from the beginning, because basically, believe it or not, and it shouldn't surprise you, that thought leadership is the place to start, okay, ultimately. And here's why. I mean, let's put it this way. After 20 years, Napoleon Hill figured out that all success, okay, comes through these certain laws that he discovered, that he looked and found, right? And the fact was is that one of my mentors, actually I worked for him for several years, actually Tony Robbins and I both worked for Jim Rohn. And at the time, Jim would always tell us this. He would say, look, he goes, if you want to be successful, you have to study success, right? If you don't just study success, I mean, you'll never learn what creates success, and therefore you'll never be successful. But if you do study success, you'll find these things out. Therefore, in this case, we're talking about being successful in joint ventures. You can study joint ventures all you want, but if you don't actually practice the laws of success, which are as important as the laws of gravity, you'll never actually be successful. So we'll tell you a couple of those things, which are pretty simple. And one of them, which was in his original work, was the last, actually, of his 15 laws at the time. He eventually got to 17 laws. But his 15th law was the golden rule. Okay, so let me just tell you the golden rule of JVs, okay? And I'm going to talk about this at the event as well. But the golden rule of JVs, which is actually the most critical rule in almost all of life, every society effectively operates this way. And in fact, what it does is it's really a mindset thing, okay? When we're talking about mindset here, what it is it's switching it from how can I get what I want to how can I give them what they want. That's really the first step. There's lots of ways. Moses said it as, love your neighbor as yourself. The Savior from Nazareth, he said, as you would wish others to do to you, do to them likewise. Different religions have different ways of explaining it. But the fact was, is that he says, do unto others the way you'd want them to do unto you. So would you want somebody to say, hey, will you send out for me to your list? Hey, will you do this for me? Hey, will you do that for me? That's not how you approach people in a joint venture. Instead, you do the golden rule in joint ventures, which is when you give, then you have the right to receive. You may not even have to ask, but if you need to eventually, you can ask. And so the first step is not to approach joint venture partners with what can I get or what can you give me or will you give me this and will you give me that. That's not what they want to hear. Okay, what we want to do is we want to practice the golden rule and say, okay, what would we want if somebody was approaching us with a joint venture and we had a 100,000 person list or whatever? So what you do is you say, look, I have a way that I believe that I can help you. And here's how I can help you. And it shouldn't cost them anything. It shouldn't give them any risk. It should be exactly what you would want if you were in their shoes. So literally every kind of deal that you approach people with is something that they only have an upside potential. You're actually thinking about them and not yourself. And that's really, if I had to give you only one rule on this entire interview here, that's what I would first say.
It's so powerful and so important for people to remember, because we all become goal-oriented for ourselves. And in fact, the first goal needs to be, how do I create value for others? And in a joint venture partnership, that means how do I put it on my hat for the person I want to be creating that joint venture with, for what would bring value to them? What are their goals for their customers, their clients, and so on? And how do I first partner with them to help create that value?
You got it. That's exactly. And that's, ultimately, you know, that's what it's really a mindset of giving, which actually starts the receiving process. You know, if you, another way of saying it, Jim Rohn said this as well to me all the time, you say, you know, look, when you help other people become successful, you'll become successful. That's what it's all about. It's just really helping them become successful. And literally, I mean, what kind of people would you want hanging around you? What kind of people would you want to do favors for? What kind of people would you want to send as many times to your list as possible? Okay? You know, it's people who care about your goals, care about what you're doing, and are there to help you. That's what it's all about. So that's the name of the game.
And I think so often when people are just getting started with joint ventures, in going to a prospective JV partner, they think the giving starts with, and I'll give you a 50% commission when you sell my stuff. You have to understand that the people you're approaching as a JV partner, they already make money on their own. They already have stuff to make them money on their own. And going to them with that, I'm going to pay you to do this, is not really an example of giving in this instance. If anything, it actually is something that hurts them. It doesn't help them, right, Mark?
You get it. Well, in these days, most of them don't get paid anyway, and they don't necessarily make any money from joint ventures because most of people don't structure them right. But even if they did get paid, that's not what they're interested in. They're actually interested in other things, which we could talk about those things that they're really interested in, you know, in a minute if you want. But the fact is that that's one of the biggest goals. They understand that they're not interested in getting paid for 50%, you know, on your product. That's not what their main interest is. Do they want the money? Absolutely. Would they love to make $1 million with you? Absolutely. But believe it or not, that's not their first and foremost priority.
What is their first and foremost priority?
Well, their first and foremost priority most of the time is market share. Okay? That's what they're really trying to do. So I'll give you, let's just walk through a couple examples. So I'm a guy, and I have a 100,000 person list. Okay? And I was just doing this the other day for a client of mine who I had to send out, you know, one of my lists. I have 400,000 person lists. I have this other list, which is about 3,700 people on it, and he wanted me to send somebody to this one list for 3,700 people. Now, I did it for him because he did it for me, okay? And I am strict about when somebody goes on the hook to do something for me, I'm going to do it for them. That's actually the reason why I was sending it to him. I could care less if I even made any money, okay? And I was going to make money. I was a 50% joint venture partner and all that. But I did it to him for him because he did it for me. That's the reason why I sent. Because remember, it's one thing to get them to say they'll send for you. It's another thing to actually get them to do it, right? And so, in the end, I was doing this for him, and I realized, okay, that this is just what happens. Ultimately, there's going to be some people on my list who are going to opt out, right? So the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm going to send for somebody is, guess what? I'm going to get some opt-outs from this particular person's message. It's just the way it is. Okay? Now, that means I'm losing somebody who may be able to give me $1,000 a year. And if I even get five of those people, right? Okay? That's $5,000 a year I'm losing by sending out this list for this guy, right? So the first thing I'm thinking about is what? I'm actually thinking about content. Is the content that you're going to have me share with my audience worthy of devotion? That's the first thing I'm thinking about. I could care less about the money. I want the money, and I'll take the money. But I'll tell you, I'm more interested about making sure my clients are happy because I have a lot more money of the things that I'm going to sell them. So that's the first thing they're thinking about.
Yeah, really.
It's so important for people to hear that because we're in this exchange society where we think if we just speak in a convincing enough fashion, someone will want to, as you just described, send a message out to the people you already have worked and devoted yourself to creating relationship with. And part of what's so important for you and everybody listening is the message I'm sending to the people I'm in relationship with, one that's of value to them, one that they're glad that they received, one that they're at the worst neutral about. They're glad that they sort of saw the message so they know what it is you're doing and what you're spending your time on that has them as the main focus of interest. It's so important what you just shared, because I think all too often people say, look, give me some stuff to send out. I'll send it to my list. And they don't understand. Take that information in and then don't just slap it in an autoresponder system and send it out. Look at that language and maybe even spend time rewording it to your language, the language that's more naturally the way you would be speaking with and sharing information and ideas with your own community, and explaining why they ought to find interest or value in this thing that you're putting out to them through an emailing or through a comment on Facebook and so on. It's so important that over and over you just keep demonstrating that you have your community in mind.
That's exactly right. And in that realm, one of the things you can do simply is, believe it or not, is write unique content just for them. Think about it. If somebody spent, a few days or whatever it is, kind of thinking through what would be the best message for this particular guy's audience about what is my innovation, that I want him to promote. And say, look, I've actually written this for you. I'm not actually sharing it with anybody else. I'm just actually want you to send this to your audience because I thought this would be a great blog post that you could put out. I believe there's some great content here. I put a special PDF that actually has more information about the subject if they want it. And at the same time, it allows them to know about what I'm talking about here, and they can use it. I'll tell you what, if you do that for these guys, you're going to stand out amongst the few, okay, out there, and therefore you're going to be the one that says, you know what, this is the kind of person I want to work with.
It's so important. It's really about showing over and over that you're making the effort to take on the mindset of your joint venture partner for the mindset of their customer, what their customer might care about most.
That is the golden rule. That's right. The golden rule. To do unto others. And it's not just one person. It's others. You're literally thinking about them. You're thinking about their clients. You're thinking about their partners. You're thinking about everybody involved in the whole equation. You're saying, okay, how can I serve them? And how can I make sure that they are taken care of first? And then if I can, at the same time, benefit myself, great. That's what it's all about. It's the golden rule of joint venture.
Well, even our joint venture right now is a beautiful example of this. Is it okay if I tell a little of the history of this,
sure,
Mark, and what we've been
absolutely
doing?
Absolutely. And you
so
know what, Gina?
In September.
Before you do that, Gina is a perfect example of that. Okay, Gina has given and given and given. She saw that I had a need in a couple of different areas, and she gave. And you know what? She hardly even asks. But if she did ask, she'd get what she wants because she just gives, and it's just that's the perfect example.
There was no need to ask, really. That was the beautiful part. There was no need to ask. Mark came to me in September, getting ready to plan this JV summit coming up in February or March. We now have the date. It's March 11th, and he was coming to me just to get some advice on if I was hosting a JV summit. I am the JV queen, of course. Who would I be having there as a speaker? And I did what Mark is suggesting. I said, you know, this is bigger than just this one little conversation. Why don't we start doing some calls once a week, and we'll talk about the whole thing, and I'll give you as much help as you need. So we started in September. Every week we get together for half an hour. Initially, it was just planning who was going to speak. Right, Mark?
Yep, that's all it was.
And as these conversations unfolded, months before we started these conversations, I already had slated for January a JV workshop, one that I would promote myself. I'd get a few people to promote. Never did I even think about asking Mark, with his summit coming up in March or February, could he promote my workshop? That would be a direct conflict with what he's doing. He doesn't want to send people to my workshop. He wants them to go to his summit. So as we started talking about the summit and what was going to happen with the speakers, one of the things that came up was Mark wanted to have a way to sell his summit now, not have to wait until January or February to sell tickets to a March event. And I said, well, you know, I have a really easy solution to that. I'm hosting this workshop in January. why don't you simply give them a ticket to my workshop? Don't sell it to them. Give it to them when they buy the ticket to the summit. That way there's a reason for Mark to be promoting now instead of waiting. And what happened from that discussion, Mark?
Well, number one is, and what I can even say a couple other things about that, because really the issue was immediacy, right? And so even mm-hmm. on top of that, I was sharing with Gina my immediacy issues, and she said, I'll tell you what, I'll even do better than that. I'll let you take whatever part from the last workshop we did and make it available immediately for people. And I said, well, that's
yep.
great, because I have this JV Jumpstart for anybody who comes on. I have a whole bunch of stuff, and I wanted to make sure that they had the ability to have great material that they could literally get started with the moment that they sign up. And so she not only said, look, you can do that, but I said, look, I'll actually pay you, Gina, to actually have them hosted right now. So now she's going to get a bunch of customers, okay, from me, of people who are buying during that time frame to get into her workshop, which are also coming to my summit. And then at the summit, you know, she's going to be promoting her workshop, she's going to be promoting the summit for everybody there as well. And so it became an unbelievably win-win situation.
And when I made the offer, Mark, I was really not joking when I said, if you want to pay me on it, go ahead. I was really
right.
just coming from a place of giving, doing what really
yep.
served everybody to the best of my ability. And if I made money directly from it, outstanding. But if I didn't make money from it, I know I've got my funnel in place. It is so rock solid that even if I
yeah.
didn't get paid for the people coming into the workshop, I was going to make money from it at some point.
Right, and that was another thing that it just blew my mind at the time. And it was considered almost abhorrent for me to just have her give me access to the website. Really, she did. She said, look, I don't even need you to pay me for it if you don't want to. You give me what you think is fair if you want. And that's when I actually said, look, I'm going to pay you. I'm not going to let you. I mean, so think about the kind of relationship. You're talking about giving here instead of saying, okay, how much can I get from them or, you know, what's, you know, and all that. It's literally we're both trying to give. I can give you a lot more than you could take from me and vice versa. So if you're
Absolutely.
In a relationship where you're giving, that's just the way it is. And that works in, you know, life. It works with my wife and my children. It works with everybody in business. It works in everything. So it was really, it's a beautiful thing. So it just becomes, and people, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, and it works. So
it really does. And, you know, I could have easily gone to Mark and said, Mark, would you promote my workshop? And I'm sure he would have done it just because I had already given before this. But there's no need to do that. There really isn't. We both end up with so much of what we both want doing it the way that it unfolded.
And by the way, when, let's just say, not in my case, because, you know, Gina has the golden rule of, you know, mindset. I have the golden rule mindset. The fact is that the average person out there in the marketplace who you would try to do that with, literally they would do it because they felt they had to. Okay,
right.
Most of them will do it because they feel they had to. And what kind of job do you think of promoting you they're going to do when they have to do it? Okay, right now with Gina, I would, you know, do it to the ends of the earth because she's only done everything she could to help me. And that's just the way it is. And I could give you countless examples of that even just in the last few months with big joint venture partners of mine in the same realm.
And in keeping with the message of this show, what I want our listeners to really understand is what was just described was building a relationship. We talk so much about Breakthrough Directions is all about from relationship building, relationship marketing through business systems to create business success. And what was just described was not a dash of urgency, but rather building of a relationship that led in very natural steps over time. And look at the reality of how short that time actually was. It actually took place in a span of 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And people are operating with such a sense of urgency as if, what's the phrase, in case you win the lottery and move to Fiji tomorrow or you're hit by a truck, you know, you only have this one conversation, this one opportunity to connect with someone and get them to agree to something. It's like, wow. Breathe, people, take in oxygen and start from, I don't know where this might lead to. How do I have a conversation, how do I start with relationship building the same way that the two of you were modeling. It started with a conversation of shared interests, a commitment to spend time together talking about that shared interest, and through building that relationship, the ideas that were not even on the table during that first conversation or the second or the third conversation are now bearing immense fruit for the two of you as well as for all the people you're going to be serving through what's being given birth to here.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark and I are incredibly busy people. We don't have hours to devote to something that we aren't really clear on where it's going to go. We've done this in 30 minutes a week. That's it. So we're not even talking about needing to have 4, 5, 6 hours a week to grow the relationship. Very short, very focused concentrations on just having that conversation and letting it unfold as time goes on. And oh my goodness, the things that are unfolding throughout the relationship, this is simply one piece of it, right, Mark? There's several other pieces that are even bigger than this.
Yeah, because because life is too short to deal with screwballs, really, is the way to put it. I mean, you may love people and you may give to them and all that because that's the right way to live. But, and it also makes you happier and all that. You're happy with yourself. You go to sleep at night, all that stuff. But the fact is that you only have so much time to deal with people who are not making a win-win situation. So, but when you find somebody who actually gets it, who's actually in an upward spiral kind of relationship where, you know what, we're gonna literally make money together, right? We're going to serve a marketplace together. We're going to help them together. And, you know, I have lots of other joint venture partners, but, you know, there's a select few who really get it. And that's why one of the things I'm doing is trying to teach people how to actually do it the right way. Because think about it. If I could have a great relationship like this with Gina, how about if we could have 10 people like that? And the best way to actually create 10 people like that is to teach them that that's the way it works so that they can learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So that's why this Joint Venture Summit is going to create a wonderful thing, not only for them, but it's going to come back, you know, to us in other ways because we have great people who we can partner with in a lot of different ways and do some great things. So.
And, you know, one of the favorite things that I've heard from you is the whole idea of the orchestra model of leadership. And to me, training those 10 people is really what the orchestra model of leadership is all about. Why don't we talk about what that is and how that could work in the context of joint ventures as we've been discussing them? What is it?
Sure. Well, basically the orchestra model is something I came up with about 7 years ago. And I said, look, this, and I used to carry around this baton. I still have it, and I just kind of use it. It always helps me remember that I'm not necessarily the best violin player, right? I'm not necessarily the best tuba player or, you know, the trumpet player or anything like that. But I could easily bring on to my orchestra the best in almost anything. And what happens is that I can then create one of the best orchestras, a marketplace orchestra, that now can literally play beautiful music to my audience. And the funny thing is that I didn't have to spend 10 years learning how to play a violin or getting world class at it, maybe spending 20 years getting good at it, right? Unless you're 13 years old, you got all your time in the world to do it or something. And I didn't have to spend the time or the money for lessons. I didn't have to do any of that stuff. I literally just found these great innovators, these great people who already had the best stuff and make it available to my audience. And the funny thing about an orchestra is that in the end, is that, you know, most people don't know the name of the violinist or the celloist or anything like that. They don't know any of those people, but they do know who the conductor is. And so for branding and for everything else, they look to that conductor. Matter of fact, if you replaced your violinist and said, you know what, you're just not up to par, it's not working, you give them some time to fix it or whatever, if it's just not working, you say, look, I can't really have you in the orchestra anymore. So the fact is that now the audience probably wouldn't even recognize that it's a different violinist in many cases. Okay, but the fact is you become the trusted advisor. You become the leader. You become the one they all look to say, look, I'm looking for you for beautiful music in our industry. And therefore, you're the what I'm going to for this. And it's your job to make sure the best people are in that orchestra, okay? And so the beautiful thing about that is every one of those people in that orchestra are joint venture partners, and that's or strategic partners, people who are there to make sure that the marketplace is effectively served. And that's what we're here for. And so that's an example, a simple example of how the marketplace orchestra and the conductor model kind of works.
And so many of the listeners of this show are people who are coaches and mentors and authors and speakers. And the fastest, easiest way to really turn yourself into that superstar coach or mentor is to keep in mind this whole idea of orchestrating your leadership and putting your orchestra together instead of just being the coach and mentor that does it all.
Exactly.
So right. Much easier. And
what I would like to do is
orchestra.
And because we're talking about this orchestra and we're talking about the collaborations the two of you are doing, I would really like us to take the next moments of this interview to help each of our listeners understand that there's two programs coming up and that they're very complementary. So I'd love it if, Gina, you would talk about what's coming up in January, and Mark, you would talk about what's coming up in March.
Well, let's let Mark talk about it first, because the way they're going to get to January is through March.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, the Joint Venture Summit, you go to jointventuresummit.com, and it actually doesn't become available for sale until, like, next week sometime. And there's, like, a super early bird thing by the end of the year. So if you want to really go, you may want to spend the time to make the decision early, because by the end of the year you'll get a discount that's pretty really substantial. In the meantime, what the program is about ultimately is this, is that it's a premier event for creating a profitable strategic partner alliance or a network. That's what it's about. It's about literally everything you need from start to finish, profitable strategic partner network of any kind. It could be on a low end like affiliates. Now, affiliates, I don't really consider, I mean, I consider joint venture partners, but they're what they call low-level affiliates. I mean, if somebody may put your link on their site occasionally or whatever the case may be, and those are good and important. Typically, you're going to create a higher-level partnership with somebody else who's going to help you find maybe hundreds or thousands of those kind of people, because you're not going to necessarily produce a whole lot unless you find a real good one somehow, some way. So that's one type of partnership. And, of course, it can go all the way up to strategic partnerships where you do a program together, where you literally they become an integral part of your company, or their products are integrated in what you sell, or you have maybe a monthly column in their monthly newsletter, things like that. These are all things that you can develop. But the whole point is, the summit is designed to help you create whether it be on the innovation side or on the marketing side, whether you're trying to grow, you know, to different cities throughout the United States, say, or if you're trying to grow internationally, or if you're trying to go into certain market segments, like the 25,000 different industry segments or markets or niches. That's what the summit's all about. It's about how do you do it, how do you do it systematically, how do you do it the right way, how do you do it with the best practices, how do you do it with quantum leap practices, which are even higher than best practices. Because remember, best practices eventually become normal practices for everybody else, and basically you end up not necessarily standing out at that point. So you have to really have – you have to be exceptional, and therefore knowing what those things are to effectively implement them into your business to create your business to the highest level possible quickly, fastly, with hardly any money, with less effort, or taking the same effort you're doing to really help it maximize to the greatest level. That's what the event is all about, and maybe you guys can ask some questions about it, but that's really what it's all about.
Very cool. And Gina, the January program?
And so when you reserve your seat for the Joint Venture Summit, one of the things that's included with it is access to this Joint Venture Workshop that's coming up on January 30th and 31st. If you go to askggg.com/JVCALL, J-V-C-A-L-L, you'll see all of the details of what's involved in that 1.5, almost 2 full-day workshop. It's all done virtually. It's not something like the summit that you have to go to Atlanta to attend. You can attend from wherever you are. And it's really going to give you a solid foundation for participating in the summit, I think. Don't you, Mark?
Absolutely. Well, you know, what happened, what's important is this. A lot of people aren't necessarily ready for advanced strategic partnering, okay? But I guarantee you, in that day and a half with, you know, with Gina and the other people who are involved in that workshop will allow you to be up to speed and ready for action at the event, because you're going to be meeting with some people who are unbelievably outstanding, people who have hundreds of thousands of people on their list, people who are in charge of associations, people are in charge of chambers, people are in charge of businesses that are in a host of different niches, and probably more importantly, some of the people you're going to meet with who can actually tap you into almost any one of those, depending on what niche you're in, what marketplace you're in, and things like that. So the whole point is to be ready for action at the event. And that's part of what I wanted to make sure happened. And part of my JV jumpstart that people get is to make sure that no matter what happened, they were as ready as possible for the event. And Gina was the first person I thought of to even make something like that happen. So that's the reason why we're doing it. It makes all the sense in the world.
And so we'll start the workshop out with helping you look at your own plan so that you can look at for the assets you're going to need to find through joint ventures. Then we're going to start you out with, okay, what makes for a good JV partner? Who might those people be? How can you go about finding them at the summit and even beyond the summit? All those things that you really need to understand in order to be ready on March 11th to walk in and start finding the people you're going to learn through the workshop. And then the rest of the workshop is really about showing you examples of different kinds of joint ventures. What can you use joint ventures to create? There are so many ways of getting leverage in your business using joint ventures. I can think of dozens of them. Can't you, Mark?
Yeah, oh, I'm just reading from our current agenda, right? And I'm looking at all these different things that we're going to be talking about, like the little mistake that cost one JV partner $30,000 and the three steps you can do to make sure that doesn't happen to you. I mean, these are big, practical things that you can use. There's so many. We have, I think it's 82 different strategies we're going to talk at the entire event. We have when partnering pros need money, this is what they do. That's another session we're going to be doing. Because a lot of times, you know, whatever it is, it could be a certain time of year that's really bad for your business. It could be whatever. But you need to bring in cash. What do you do, right? And we're going to be talking about that because that's just one issue of what people need. Regarding something we talked about earlier, if you're the kind of person maybe already has a list, right, and you're looking for great things to maximize value out of your list, one of the things that you find is that you end up a lot of times not getting paid, right? So one of the sessions we have is 7 ways to collect money from your joint venture partners. You know, because not that they don't want to pay you, it's just that there's lots of issues that go on in that whole process that you don't even know about. And so you need to know how to do these things. And there's so many other aspects of doing it. Another session here is get JV partners without investing one penny. You know, how do you do it? If right now you're starting your business and you don't have a whole lot of money. So how do you bring in joint venture partners without it cost you hardly anything? And that kind of stuff. And how do you get the right, you know, so many different important elements about that we're going to cover that just fit hand in glove with even what Gina talks about. And literally, you'll be ramped up in a very short period of time. But by the end of the first quarter, you're going to be, should I say, a JV monster. You'll be able to get out there and make some serious strategic partnerships with a lot of great people.
Absolutely. So fastest, easiest way to attend both is just go to jointventuresummit.com, opt in right there as soon as the ticket sales are up and available in the next week or so. Mark will send you an email so you can go get your seat at the earliest bird pricing and save yourself several $100.
Yep.
So, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a blast, and I know I will be referring to this episode for several months to come as we talk more and more about the details of the JV Summit and the upcoming JV Systems Workshop, et cetera. Really looking forward to it.
It truly was my pleasure, and actually I loved what I heard on this call as well, so I'm actually planning on putting it on our Joint Venture Summit blog and actually referring to it myself, because there's some really good stuff that came out of this call. I'm very happy that you guys invited me to be interviewed here today, and it was truly my pleasure. So,
well, it will certainly give folks a great taste of what they can expect when they join us for the Joint Venture Summit.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and Linda, thank you as well for thinking about me.
Oh, Mark, it's such a pleasure to have you, and thank you so much. There's so much in here that's so worth every one of our listeners going back and listening to it two and three times with pen in hand and really starting to map out for themselves who would be the ideal relationship, and in particular to get themselves to the summit to learn to really leverage how they can use joint ventures to grow their business and serve their people and serve more people in the world.
Yeah,
absolutely. JointVentureSummit.com, everybody. Have a great week, everyone, and Linda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.